Well, welcome back to another exciting edition of Cambridge Inside Out.
Robert Winters, you didn't say that.
Well, that's me. I'm Robert Winters.
And Judy Nathans.
Right. Yeah. We're back.
Patrick was here, like Barrett, which is wonderful. I watched both of them. I never watched them, but I did watch it when it's not me. He had a lot to say. Because you had less, I mean, you were more like me. It was like you were adding things, but he was just constant.
Actually, I think it was somebody kind of commented on the program and said,
you guys
actually left a lot on the table, meaning there was a lot more we were...
Well, because you were dealing with two big issues, the retail strategy and then the affordable health or whatever way around. And given his position on serving, you know, the Central Square, and also he's on the tenant displacement thing, and he's a landlord, and he's a retail, and he knows a lot about real estate and the price of things.
And I you know, it's great we have Patrick in the mix in the civic world of Cambridge, because
and he lives right in Central Square.
He lives it. Yeah. He does business here. He's building a home.
He built his home.
He's building his boutique hotel. He's taking care of his tenants. You know, it's kind of nice when you actually have people in the civic landscape who are so deeply involved in making good things happen. You know, because sometimes it bothers me when you have, you know, either the political people or whatever are kind of, they feel a little bit like we used to call OJTs, on-the-job trainees.
OJTs.
Huh. Yeah. And, you know, it's just so much more pleasant when you actually have people who are
doing the work.
Waist deep in the muddy, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, he's got his detractors, I'm sure.
Everyone
has detractors, but whether you're, you know.
Right, well, actually, you know, depending on how you count things, I think, you know, he's the one who promoted the accessory apartments.
That's true.
And then there was one provision that he didn't include in the original one, but then got picked up, and then that got ordained, though he wasn't technically the author, but it was basically coasting on something he started.
So that was last night they ordained it, or
they
was it
ordained
last week?
That, yes, ago? Yeah.
Was some comment about safety or something? What was that about? Or egress, and they addressed that? Something about a gated window?
Right, so
window
this is for the accessory apartments. If you're going to be doing things like basement
like
apartments,
basement level.
there are certain rules from building safety points of view in terms of ingress, egress.
And, yeah.
How far above does the ceiling inside have to be from the ground outside, you know? And if it's not this, then you have to allow for that. Mm-hmm. You put in window well. So, yeah, I think those are the details that the people at the building department or the inspectional services department, as we call it here, they'll work those details out, I'm sure, because they're the ones who have to ultimately grant occupancy permits and things. So, you know, they'll work it out. You know, so that was pretty good. Patrick also had the other petition for that he's the legal person for.
Oh, the Melissa
Grippo.
And they want to do a hotel down where Fulkerson around there.
I think where Emma's Pizza is now down at.
It's that area of East Cambridge where it's an industrial A1.
Very close to where the. You know, the one Kendall Square complex is.
Exactly.
So anyway, that passed unanimously.
Good.
So,
well, it's a good use of it.
Patrick has every reason to be very proud of his zoning work.
Yeah.
He's becoming quickly the town expert.
Well, he's a lawyer and he knows real, so I guess
he knows
real
his buildings.
Lawyer.
You know, he's really, really into the thick of things. So.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought I would mention went on two walks this weekend, which were kind of notable, in-town walks. One is an annual thing. It's in honor of Jane Jacobs. You know, who the author of, was it Death and Life and Death of American Cities?
Yeah.
Or Death and Life, I always screw
New Yorker,
up. Yeah.
Right?
New Yorker, she was sort of the anti-Robert Moses.
Right.
And, you know, and really emphasized sort of the importance of neighborhoods and street corners and, you know.
The urban landscape.
The urban landscape and preserving the good and not just letting the progress bulldoze over things that really are valuable and you're going to miss them when they're gone.
Right.
So she passed away some years ago, but the thing is that now people all over the country actually do these Jane's walks.
That's nice.
And I've gone on, I don't know if I've done on every, they think this is the 11th
who
year they're doing them. There's a number of people.
Who organized it? I didn't know about it, but so I don't know where it was.
It's on a mailing list.
Oh. Okay.
I recognize some of the same people when I'm there. I'm spacing out a little bit on some of the names right now. But oftentimes, like Charlie Sullivan from the Cambridge Historical Commission will often be on these. Sometimes
but
he
who leads it is what I'm asking. Or who led this one?
This one was a little more casual, but okay. The thing is there were some neighborhood people. This one started out at Taylor Square.
Where's that?
Which is where the Taylor Square Fire Station is. It's where Sherman Street branches off from Garden Street.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's the name of that
fire station? Yeah, and there's a fire station right there.
I know exactly.
Tiny little park is where we met.
Given keys to or something.
Yeah, so that's where we met, right at the tiny little park.
Okay.
And we were actually talked about, is this the smallest park in Cambridge?
Yeah, seriously. It's such a
because I think there's one called
precious.
Walter Guffey Park, which is
really?
At the corner of Arrow Street and Massachusetts Avenue, which is all equally small.
Can't you just jump over the fence and sit in it?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Piece of cake, yeah.
So
we went there and we explored the neighborhood of streets like Fenno Street, Stern Street.
Oh, yeah, I know that area. Donster, it's right near Fenno and...
Yeah, it's a neat little neighborhood.
Yeah,
and
it's got a little library over there on Concord Ave.
If you go all the way over, yeah.
But
this is pretty close. It's very close to where Patty's Lunch is, which is where the walk ended, I might
Yeah, know. Okay, yeah.
So, and actually the proprietors of Patty Lunch, Ruthie, you know, we were right by her house and some of the other streets around there. It was just nice, you know, and it was a bit thematic because there's... There is a bit of a phenomenon of people sort of doing teardowns. You know, they want to buy up a
property. Oh, I heard about this. Wasn't that the nature of the walk? Or they had a walk to only look at teardowns? Is this different?
I don't think it was just
I know someone that lives in that area, and they said they were going on a walk that weekend to do that.
That's, I think, what it said in the description, but it wasn't so much about that. It was really just about the phenomenon of people sort of coming in.
Yeah.
And in one case, it was definitely a teardown, which is being proposed.
Yeah.
But also just changing things pretty dramatically.
So you went, did you go by the Mass Hardware? Did you go
Massey's?
That far down?
Yeah, we went down by Massey's
that's
Corner.
That's being built up there.
Yeah, oh yeah. But, you know, anyway, it's interesting, you know, one of the things that I'm always impressed by when I go on these walks and other, you know, saunters around town is the diversity of housing types in the city.
Oh, yeah.
And there are little places where there are smallish places, and then the other places where there's lots of apartment buildings and whatever. It's one of the things I kind of like about Cambridge. And, you know, when there are various proposals that just say build bigger, 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 you're sort of worried that some of these,
Well, yeah, but everything has a time. You know, I just found out that where I'm staying now with my daughter, that there's actually an addition put on in the back. It wasn't originally there, so... Over the years, people have taken these small houses and added on. So maybe this is just another phenomenon. There's no, you can't add back. So now you're going to add up.
Right.
I mean,
right. No, things.
You know, one story is
okay. That's fine. Yeah, but you know, I mean, I think the concern most people
I think
have
the teardowns is more concern because then you're building just the boxes that we see on Brookline Street. And we see,
you know,
all
it's,
over Cambridge.
It's, you know, I think every few decades we go through a period where. People have a different notion of progress, and they say you shouldn't stand in the way of progress.
Mm.
You know, so for example, there was a period of time during along Harvard Street in mid-Cambridge where these beautiful mansard buildings got torn down and were replaced by what were essentially just boxes.
You're talking about like the brick apartment buildings?
There's some really nice brick apartment buildings,
so
and then there's some pretty crummy ones.
Really, on Harvard
that are in
Street?
There, yeah. And the thing is that I think people sort of they respond and they say, well, maybe this wasn't the outcome we really ideally wanted.
Huh.
So years later, they passed this thing called the Townhouse Ordinance, which actually allowed infill, so they would preserve a lot of the nice buildings, but allow some townhouse developments behind them.
So is that how Ellery, you know, Ellery and Dana, there's like a whole...
Is
that how that came about?
I think that was part of the...
Because that's kind of nice.
I know people
live there.
Right. I would say that was preferable to what was happening before that change. But I guess the point I was making is that we do go through these periods where somebody's notion of progress and then happens. And then 10, 20 years later, people go, what were we thinking? I think my best example of this is the old Central Artery. People said, you know, elevated highways, that's the future.
That was a big bugaboo.
Right, but
the big dig you're talking about.
Well, the big dig was where they said, well, maybe it wasn't such a good idea to put in these elevated highways.
Oh, right, so now they wanted it underground.
Yeah,
and $20 billion? It was a lot of money.
It ended up being a lot more expensive, but the thing is that... you know, but once upon a time, you know, they were talking, referring to these as skyways, and it was considered to be the future. And Lord knows you should stand in the way of the
future.
And
all those cloverleaf things that we put out because everybody wanted to live in the suburbs.
In the suburbs.
Space.
And then,
now it's all
changing.
And
that was the future. And then
and
people said, maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Right, exactly.
Right? You know, there was when the Interbelt was proposed as part of a highway network around Boston area, there was a proposal to run this Interbelt right across, right down Brookline Street, through along Elm Street, all the way over into Somerville, to what is now Interbelt Road, you know, and connecting to these other highways. And the Cambridge Planning Department was gung-ho, yes, this is the future, you know. So I guess I'm only making the point that we do
That's
go...
That's when neighbors... You're talking about the whole...
And then people rose up and said, well, maybe that shouldn't be the future. But at first,
God.
They were looked upon as blocking progress.
Well, do you think that's happening now?
In some ways.
No, with the whole interchange with the Mass Pike and River Street and where the high... You know, there are all these meetings. Because there's different proposals to how to deal with that.
I think we're... In terms of some of the highway designs and proposals, we're actually in a better place now in that the future... Actually, it's a lot more human scale.
True. And well, the streetscape, they call their street design.
And
but I don't know which one they settled on. I think they have a little bit of a tunnel. Well, not a tunnel, but an overpass. There is an elevated.
But a lot of times when road designs like Storrow Drive was put in, they just built it right in the middle of a park.
Right.
And that was considered the future. And Lord knows you shouldn't stand in the way of progress.
I remember my daughter's grandmother, Mary Vise, you know, they used to walk across that way to get to the river before there was
Storrow Drive. Yeah. Now, maybe there were some positive aspects. You needed to get some throughput of traffic. And you would have had nothing but choked streets, I guess, otherwise. But, you know, you sort of have to wonder whether there were better ways to do things. You know, the Emerald Emerald Necklace has where Charles Gate is.
Yeah.
That turned into nothing but a highway interchange for where Star Drive connects.
Well, you mean at the end there?
Yeah.
But the rest of it's nice.
But that was supposed to be this grand gateway into the Fenway area under
and then
the
it turned
Olmsted
into,
designs. And then it just turned into highway interchanges.
I wonder if there are plans for the future to change that. Have you
heard know, people talk about
that?
It. There are.
You're talking about there's an elevated. You're right.
There are some McGrath Highway. They talk about grounding McGrath over in Somerville. There was the old overpass down near Forest Hill Cemetery.
Somerville's one big construction
Arboretum.
Zone, anyway.
You know, so a lot of things that were that people viewed as the future, the great grand future, have a kind of a shelf life that isn't as long as people may think.
Right.
Before people come to their senses and say,
well,
maybe
now
that wasn't.
We're looking at cars differently. We're looking at. Lots of things differently.
Right.
Money's more.
Oh, yeah.
More.
Yeah. You know, I mean, now it's also talking about housing density. And you know, I think there's some good arguments to be made for that, but not indiscriminately. Just like I think there's some good arguments.
It's a shame instead of those highways, they should have really fixed the public transportation and light rail and all that. We wouldn't, it would be so much better.
Right. So sometimes you have to wait 20 years before the right idea comes along.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, traffic really is bad out there. I mean, I'm a driver, I'm also a walker, all that, but I have just, it is really bad. And it's just going to get worse because, you know, all these construction projects are going to happen in Harvard Square. And you've got the Somerville thing going on. And then it's just crazy.
Yeah, I keep saying to myself, when enough of these construction projects are completed. And road projects are completed. Well, I mean, the thing is that when you're doing some of the projects on even in around Central Square, it's actually cutting off some roads. So, you know, will the whole network work better?
Right, well, I forgot. There's the River Street construction. So when is all the Harvard Square stuff going to happen? The equity, you know.
Pretty soon, I think. Yeah.
So that's going to completely have to get traffic diverted, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about it.
Well, Cambridge Traffic and Parking Department will simply
refer to
as traffic calming.
Which actually, you know what? I think they shouldn't even allow cars right in Harvard Square. And I am a driver.
You know, that's actually a proposal that
you
has
know,
been
just
floating.
Go around. If you're going to drive, go around and keep cars out of there.
Every decade or so, people suggest it.
Yeah.
But then the businesses say, well, you know, if you...
there's no place to park there. You park in a garage that's outside. You go to the Charles garage. Don't get rid of that.
But
you don't allow cars right to go through to get to the Charles. They can go through Memorial Drive and get it.
I don't know if I've ever seen any research on it. But
okay.
I have a funny feeling intuitively that people sometimes have to pass through places to sort of put it on their mental roadmap?
Harvard Square is not a real pass-through place. River Street maybe is a pass-by place, but
yeah,
I don't know.
But
I think it could fly.
I think Harvard Square used to be very much a pass-through place.
By cars?
Well, before they reconfigured the whole plaza area.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's not that directly pass-through. You really have to do some curving.
I know.
And so it wouldn't be a big change, I don't think.
Which, by the way, I was actually, who was I speaking? Somebody in the city administration I was talking to the other day, and actually we were in agreement, so I'm glad I don't remember who it was, because I don't want to like call somebody out on name here, because they'd be, but I basically made the point that I said every 10 or so years, people in the city should take a big step back and look at their own road network and decide whether certain one-way streets could work better as two-way
or vice versa.
We don't do that so much in Cambridge, but they did it in a big way in Somerville's Union Square recently.
I can't believe the traffic department doesn't look every so often at how streets are being used and all that.
You know, I think sometimes what they're really doing is they're responding to some gripe from some city council order and coming up with a plan for that, or carrying out some
bicycle related. But aren't there 5-year plans and all this stuff that they have down?
There are plans being, I see, rolled out for doing things like reconfiguration of some, realignment of roads.
Maybe do with
how to fit in bicycle infrastructure and things like that.
The actual, where is this going to and is this necessary?
Personally, I don't think that River Street could possibly ever operate again as a two-way street. But,
oh, no.
But I would at least hope that during the River Street reconstruction process, that at least one person should say, well, we could look at that, but I think it would be a bad idea.
I think that's been said and done and gone. That is not a good idea.
Well, except for the fact that both
Western Avenue is one way.
Western Avenue was two-way. River Street was two-way.
I know, but that was before the Pike.
And right, so when the Pike came in,
You can't do it.
So it was very much driven by the
I like the one-way, and I think they should have a better bike passage, because I think it is a direct route. I now live on River Street temporarily. So I just feel, and there's no parking on that side, which is okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
To make it two-way sounds like
I'm not actually proposing that.
Two-way should have been Western.
But the thing is that some years ago in Union Square, the notion about turning the Prospect Street Bridge into a two-way operation.
Right, but that's a totally different thing. That's a bridge.
Right, but the thing is that Webster Avenue, which was always one-way, or at least been one-way for as long as I can remember,
but it's also a much shorter two-way stretch.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. But I'm just saying is that every once in a while,
I think they should make some streets one-way, that they, like Howard Street, I don't know if you've ever been on that one, that's two ways, and you have to stop,
duck and cover.
Cars have gotten hit.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy.
There are a few streets that are definitely like that. But anyway, I just think, you know, taking a big step back.
So they agreed I just thought they did that.
One of the things I suggested at the beginning of that Envision Cambridge process, I said, you know, are we going to sort of talk regionally at all? We never did. But
you've got to talk regionally.
But I thought, you know, so are the bridges over the Charles River, for example, interconnecting with Boston and elsewhere, is that the right number of bridges? Should anybody consider there being initial crossings?
I heard that somewhere.
I mean, I don't think anybody's going to do that. But the thing is I would just say every 10 or 20 years, people should take a step back and say, would that help or hurt?
Yeah, but also the trend is less cars. Get cars off the road. So maybe a bridge for bikes, maybe, but... I don't know.
Right.
I don't think it's ever going to be car-focused.
We do have a tendency to funnel all traffic, bicycle, car, everything, into relatively few interconnecting roads.
Well, because they're major routes.
And there are railroad tracks and rivers that chop things off to make it hard.
Well, we have an old city. Unless you want to tear everything down and recreate it.
I know. I'm not trying to suggest that.
Is there a city like that somewhere? Probably in China. You know,
maybe.
They're way ahead of us in so many things. They're doing the Silk Road. They're doing that. They've got 5G networks.
But one of the things that I've certainly seen happen in my lifetime here in Cambridge is that an idea that gets floated in, let's say, the 1980s.
Yeah, it will happen in 1980.
People talk about a date 10 years later, and then 20 years later, they actually start planning and do it. So sometimes you have to put ideas on the table.
Except for the bridge near Alewife. That has always been talked about, and it's been at least 20 years since they've talked about it.
Right, but they did replace the old bridge that went over the current road bridge on Route
16. Right, but I'm talking about the one that would go from Alewife to that.
Yeah, so that's one of those ideas that keeps, it's like a recurring suggestion that never actually seems to get any traction.
But now that they're looking at the development there, it might happen.
I think that's the only way it would really happen, because without federal money, it's really only the development money that will make good things happen, really. Actually,
it's they can get federal money for that?
No, not anymore. But once upon a time, you would get 90% of the cost would have been covered by the federal government under some transportation bill, but not today. So, you know, it's
a new world. Big nightmare that isn't going to change that whole two thing.
So, anyway, Jane Jacobs Walk was great. Right. There was another one, that was on Saturday. On Sunday, we met over at the church.
I was busy.
Right. But it was a nice led walk around some of the church buildings and religious buildings of Cambridgeport. And I went there figuring, oh, this will be interesting. And I actually loved it. This fellow Gabriel, who's working in conjunction with the...
St. Augustine,
but also with the... Historical Commission, you know, he led this walk, and we didn't have a lot of people, but you know, we went into the Greek church, some of the church buildings I'd been in, you know, because they would have meetings or whatever. Some of the ones, this is my very first time inside, and it's incredible what's actually hidden away in some of these buildings, you know. And we went into the Cambridge. There's a Zen center on, I think, is it Williams Street?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, Williams or...
Yeah, yeah. And when we were going into that, I went, wait a minute, I think I remember bringing a backyard composter here 25 years ago.
Did they go to Eitz Haim on Magazine Street?
We were supposed to, but we didn't make it all the way down.
Well, you should see what they created in there, because it's basically a house, but they raised money and built a sanctuary in back that's stunning. So one of those days.
Yeah, no, actually, the backs of some of these buildings are actually quite interesting.
It used to be the KLH Daycare Center. Do you remember that?
I do.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a great thing.
Yeah.
And
they are raising, I mean, St. Augustine's in particular, it's got a dwindling...
So this is like an African Orthodox church.
Right.
And that actually, of all the churches they went into, the most modest building of all was that building.
Yeah.
It's probably the one, it is certainly the one that needs the most help right now.
Yes.
But I got to say, I like that place more than any of the other ones I was in. It feels like a bit of almost like a barn when you're inside.
There's a lot of stained glass, though.
There is some stained glass, but it's a much more simple design.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it was I don't know, I can't explain why. Maybe because it was such a raw building in some ways. We were down in the basement looking at the structure.
It was designed by, I think, someone that did churches like this in the South. I remember now because I went to the open house they had to raise money, and I learned a lot. Because it definitely looks like churches in the South that were done, I think, by...
Yeah.
I don't know if he was African-American. Whatever, but...
Yeah. No, I think it's very similar design.
The Cambridgeport Neighborhood Association is actively
involved. They're really, really helping.
With this. So you should check out their website.
Promoting some fundraising for it. And it was really great. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a religious person, but I have to say...
It's historical. Yeah.
And I sort of love the sincerity of a lot of the people who are involved in these congregations. I mean...
Yeah.
They're kind of, you know, salt of the earth.
Keep the religion.
Right? No, it was just great all around. One thing actually I thought mentioning right now in terms of events, this Friday is one of the events. I'm pretty sure I'll make it because I try to make it every year. They do the City of Cambridge Outstanding Employee Awards.
Oh, right.
So they made a list of the people.
The day, right?
They do it at 9 a.m. to about 11 a.m. They usually feed you too, which is kind of nice.
Where is it done?
It's right in City Hall, Sullivan Chamber. So usually what I'll do, since I got to, you know, be down at MIT a little bit later, by no later than noon, I like to sort of go by this.
So how many people are given this honor? Well, is it already announced who got it?
Yeah, so the only thing that's not announced is there's the Brian Murphy Award, which is one that is only announced at the event.
Oh, so when did that come out? I didn't see that.
It's a press release, but there is about, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 12, 13 people, including some people I know.
So these people have been nominated by other employees or by anybody?
By anybody, but sometimes it's by people within their own departments. Especially helpful and
I don't know any of
great
these
workers.
Names, but I don't know.
One of the things that's kind of nice about it, it's such a nice sort of equal opportunity event, meaning you get some people who are working in some of the sort of the technical, high-endy stuff, and then you get laborers from public works, people who work in in electrical. It's really... all throughout, and their families come there, and it's a really nice coming together
really
of many
families,
many things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Public Works has at least two.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually,
they probably try to really spread it out if they get right.
Yeah. Actually, come to think of it, speaking of outstanding employees, I think it's in the month of May this month. Yeah. When they actually do the awards for Public Works.
Oh, I love that one.
And that is a great one. That's like a real...
like a barbecue out there.
They got barbecue, get hot dogs, hamburgers, really...
There's a recycling advisory committee meeting tomorrow morning that I'm going to go to, so maybe I'll find out about
it. Yeah, I love going to this one here. And then people come from City Hall and all the other city departments. Yeah. They actually will come and join
great
in
food.
On that one.
And they give awards there, too.
They do give awards.
Well, within the department.
Yeah. It's Public Works centered.
Right.
And... you know, and it's kind of great.
It's very
nice. I mean, lately I haven't been entirely enamored with every city department of late.
I've always liked Public Works.
But I've always liked people from Public Works. And
they deal with the nitty-gritty and the underground and the stuff you don't see.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed how much they have to deal with.
That's right.
You know,
so I always appreciated them. I always appreciated the people in the water department tremendously. And they're also these people that you might think of as sort of the frontline workers, the people who are at the desk, you know?
Yeah.
When you go up to either Public Works or...
get a permit.
You know, the city clerk's office, the people who are actually interacting with people from around the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the employees that you really, really, really come to respect and like, you know? And so this is sort of the day for them. And I always appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So anyway, that's coming up. And I don't know if any other kind of big items are coming up here. I'm sure we'll think of a few here. Very quickly, the Community Preservation Act, that process is kicking off where they're looking for people to sort of, help in that and doing some working committee for that. So anyway, look for your press releases and city websites for that information.
Hmm.
So anyway, we'll be back in a few minutes and we'll get into some nitty gritty.
Okay, bye.